Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin 13 lines from the bottom of Daf Vov. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let's take note of the structure. On the outside margin of our Gemara, you will notice we have something entitled the Nosei, and an indication that this particular topic lasts till the bottom of Daf Vov Omid Beis. The topic is Me'es La'es Shebenida. The idea that when a woman notices her blood flow, we will metame her, will declare her tamea retroactively for a period of 24 hours. Ha'im hu l'kodesh, is this something that affects only the realm of kodesh, the realm of sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, bilvad, oy gam l'truma, or does it affect also the truma tithe that is given from one's produce and given to a kohen? The structure of the Gemara is alluded to in the heading Mivneh, the structural note. You will notice that we have Roman numerals number 1 and 2 with a crown form. This crown shape, you'll notice, is around Rav Huna, where you see Roman numeral number 1 at the beginning of today's Gemara, and on Amud Beis, at the lower part of the page, there's a Lishna Achrina, where a number 2 in the to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text appears. Also, Rav Huna in a crown. So these represent Shnei Lishonos Rav Huna Behanal, regarding that which we mentioned in our topic. Triangles will appear in our Sugya. These represent Kushos. These are questions that are raised on that which is maintained over here in Lashon number 1. Mimakoros, from different sources, Shiroim Deme'es La'es Shebenida Koleil Gam Truma. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, Me'es La'es Shebenida, L'Kodesh Avoloi L'Truma. When we declare retroactive Tuma with regard to the woman that sees a blood flow, this concerns only the declaration of Tomei, things that are Kodesh, things that are of sacrificial nature, but not Truma. The Gemara asks, Ihochi Lisni Gabi Ma'alois, if that be the case that we're making a distinction between korbonos alone are being treated with severity and not with regard to truma. So it should have been stated in Maseches Chagiga, where such a list of topics where this distinction appears is made. So why is this topic of Me'es La'es Shebenida not mentioned in that location, which we refer to as Ma'alos, where Ma'alos literally has to do with higher, with levels, where we treat Kochim with a higher level of severity than we do Truma? The Gemara answers, Ki Kotoni, when is something eligible to enter the list that we call Ma'alos, that list found in Maseches Chagiga, Hecho de Isle Roro de Tuma. That's where there is a suffix of a true suffix, an issue of doubt concerning Tuma. Avel Hecho de Les Le Roro de Tuma Lo. But if it's an issue like the case of Me'es Le Shebenida, which is not a function of a doubt, maybe there is Tuma. but rather me'es le'es shebenida, the declaration of retroactive tumah by nida, has to do with a gzera derabonan. And we have learned this earlier, where she was expected to check herself every morning and every evening, and she skipped a checking. So we knas her, we fine her, and say that she is tamea retroactively, an additional ona. This is a gzera, and hence it doesn't fall in the category of things that are categorized together with the ma'alos. Once again, the ma'alos are a list of issues where there is an issue of a doubt concerning real tumah. Here there isn't a doubt. After all, the woman is seeing the blood flow now, and she didn't have it earlier. So we're not, as far as this particular sheet of Me'es Le'es Shebenida is concerned, it's an issue of a gzera and not an issue of a doubt. A gzera being a rabbinic ruling and not something who stems from doubt. Continuing in our Gemara, we now we have a triangle, and this triangle is the beginning of a series of questions, and you'll notice we've also numbered them to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can skim down that space, and you'll notice till the bottom of this Omid we have 3, and on Omid Beis we'll see 4 and 5 as well. So now the Gemara asks, Meisvei Mahi Mitamo, what does a woman render unfit when you're dealing with the retroactive tumah, oichlin umashkin, food and drink, my lav, bain the kodesh, bain the truma? Is it not so that food and drink, whether it be of kodesh or whether it be of truma, she does affect it? And this would be against what Rav Huna mentioned, that it may eis leis shebenida affects only kodeshim and not truma. The Gemara answers, lo, the kodesh. This source that says, that asks, what is she matam? It says, Oichlin Umashkin. It's a reference to Oichlin Umashkin of Kodesh, of a sacrificial nature. Only. The Gemara continues, Toshma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Pishas Avrosan Milecho Betruma. There is a checking that a woman is expected to do as soon as she finishes her eating of truma. So if you have a woman that's eating truma, there's an expectation that she should check herself with the white checking cloth inserted in that area to establish that there is no blood. The Havinon Ba, and one asks, my dehavi havi, why is there any necessity to check after she's already eaten? Omar Rav Chisda, lo nitzucho elo lesakein shirayim shebefoneha. The purpose of the checking is to establish that the shirayim, whatever truma food is left over, is considered tohor. So what do we see from here? We see a case of a checking to establish that she has not seen any blood, because what we're describing now is a checking, and if she discovers that she in fact is tohor, that there is no red on the checking cloth indicating no blood, when she checks herself later that evening, let's say when she's expected to at the onset of night, and at that point she finds herself to be tamea. So you know what we'll be able to say? We'll be able to say that she's tamea now at the nighttime checking, and it will go retroactively to the checking that she did right now when she finished eating the truma. And up till that point, and only up till that point, will we say she is tamea. Let's say she wouldn't have checked herself right after she finished eating the truma, and she checks herself at the onset of night and discovers she is tamea. You know what would happen? She'll be tamea retroactively 24 hours, and that will include all of the whatever leftover truma there is will also become tamei. So we see from here that there is me'es le'es regarding truma as well, and that this checking that's recommended in the source right after she finishes eating the truma is a prevention method of keeping the whatever leftover truma that she ate from becoming tomei, because of having done the checking now, when we do retroactively matama her at the checking she does at the onset of the evening, it will go up till this point and not ruin the leftover truma. But again, just to repeat the point, we see from here that had she not done this checking right after she finished eating the truma, the truma would have been, whatever leftover truma there is, would have been ruined through the retroactive tuma of me'es la'es. This then is a kasha on Rav Huna. The Gemara answers, Rav Huna masni, Rav Huna teaches this source differently. He says that she checks when she finishes eating the truma, lisrof shirayim shebiyodeha. The checking would have the effect of burning whatever leftover truma there is, shebotko atzma kishior vesis, whereby as soon as, immediately after she finished eating the truma, if she finds herself to be tamea, if she finds on the white checking cloth some evidence of blood, she will then know that she will have to burn whatever leftover truma there is. And the reason for that is because she did an immediate checking immediately after she finished eating the truma and discovered the blood. That in that situation, the blood was there already while she was handling the remaining truma. So whatever remaining truma there is, and there was this immediate checking right after her eating, and she discovers herself to be tamea, so we will burn whatever truma that is left, being that it is now truma tamea. But not this source that we read with Rabbi Yehuda that says she checks after her eating truma is not in order to prevent a me'es la'es, a retroactive tuma, from ruining the shirayim. Toshma. You notice that we have, in addition to the triangle, there is to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a long marking. The Toshma we've written in and abbreviated with a vertical dashed line. This point, this attempted, let's say, this question lasts a number of lines down, Omid Beis, as you'll see as we go on. Toshma, Maisa v'osa Rebbe, k'Rebbe Eliezer. There was an incident of a young girl who experienced a stoppage of blood appearances over a period of three time periods of 30 days each. So 90 days went by and she didn't experience her cycle. And Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion, and he will be featured later, that says any woman who had a stoppage of a blood cycle for three time periods where a woman would have expected to see the blood and she didn't. So at that point onwards, from that point on, we say that there will be no more retroactive tuma. In other words, we say daya shaita after that. Again, there's much more detail than what we are saying right now. But anyway, that is Shitas Rebbe Eliezer. Any woman that three time periods went by and there was no blood appearance, then there is no longer retroactive tuma. The Rabbonan disagree. The Rabbonan disagree with Rebbe Eliezer and say that the only time this idea of three time periods going by and then showing us that she goes back to a state of daya shaita, this applies only to a woman who reaches a state of, we'll say, maturity, where she's called a zakena. Rebbe ruled like Rebbe Eliezer regarding a young woman, a girl, that three time periods went by and she didn't experience any dam. And he said that the subsequent appearance is going to be daya shaita, meaning after this 90-day period went by, when she does experience a blood flow, there is no retroactive tuma. Le'achar shenizkar, after Rebbe became aware that he ruled improperly, Omar Rebbe then said, Kedai hu Rebbe Lezer lismoich olav b'shas hadchak. that Rav Elazar is a great man, and in a state of under pressing circumstances, he can be relied upon. Rashi points out the pressing circumstances were that we were dealing with a Rebbe's psak was in a time of famine, and there wasn't much food around, and therefore the ruling of retroactive tumah would have led to the ruination of a lot more food that she may have handled in the last 24 hours. Therefore, his ruling he stuck with his ruling of Daya Shaita, which states that there will be no retroactive tumah, hence preserving anything she may have handled in the last 24 hours. V'havinon bo, and we ask, my la'achar shenizkar, what is it that Rebbe recalled? We mentioned that after Rebbe reminded himself that he did something improperly, nevertheless, he said it's Rebbe Elazar can be relied upon under pressing circumstances. What did he remember? If you're going to explain that he reminded himself that the halacha is not to be like Rebbe Elazar, but only like the Rabbanan. Well, if that's what he recounted, then how could, under pressing circumstances, he rule like Rebbe Elazar? He's ruling like someone that we do not accept. Elo, rather, the lo itmar hilchasa lo kemar v'lo kemar. Regarding this issue of three time periods that passes, who reverts to the daya shaita approach, whereby we say no retroactive tuma? Well, it wasn't stated whether the halacha goes like Rebbe Elazar, which says that includes all women, or will the halacha go like the Rabbanan that says it applies only to women that approach an age of maturity of old age. So the halacha was never stated like whom we are to follow. The kevon shenizkar delav yochid polig ole elo rabim pligi ole. When Rebbe reminded himself or recounted that Rebbe Elazar was not argued on by another individual, but rather by a majority, so that Rebbe Elazar represents a minority opinion. Omar, upon recognizing that, so Rebbe said, "Kedai hu Rebbe Elazar lismoich alav b'shasat chak." Even though he is a minority opinion, nevertheless, being that we have pressing circumstances, we have a year of famine, he can be relied upon during such times. He amrs bishom alatruma. Now here is the main point. This is here where the question comes to a climax. If you'll say that the retroactive tuma, which is the point under discussion right now, is something that would affect truma as well, that when we declare the woman to be retroactively tameah for 24 hours, that means that any truma she may have handled also becomes declared tameh. Hainu davoi truma bimei Rebbe. Chronologically, in the time of Rebbe, truma was still practiced. Elo I amris lekodesh, if you're going to say that it's something that me'es le'es shebenida affects only sacrificial matters, kodesh bimei Rebbe mihave. In the time of Rebbe, Rebbe lived, let's say, approximately 200 of the common era. That's quite a few years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. There was no longer any sacrificial consideration to begin with. So it must be that if Rebbe was issuing a practical halachic ruling, it must have concerned something that they were practicing, and that could be only truma. It couldn't be a reference to the Beis HaMikdash and sacrifices. So here we have a kasha once again on Rav Huna, who said that me'eis le'eis shebenida affects only sacrifices. The Gemara answers, based on Ula's teaching, that according to Ula, which we're about to see, even in the time of Rebbe, there were some practices that were Beis HaMikdash related. The Omer Ula, Chavraya Midkan Beglila. The Chavraya, here is a reference to people that were very careful with regard to matters of purity, and they used to prepare wine in a wine and oil in a state of ritual purity in anticipation of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Beglila is the Goliel, so that Goliel is in the northern region of Eretz Israel. They were concerned with the possibility of the Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt any moment, and if that would be so, wine and oil would be needed for sacrificial offerings. So that's what Ula tells us. Hachanami, so too, in explaining Rebbe's ruling above, Hachanami b'mei Rebbe. This too could have been in the time of Rebbe, that even though there was no Beis HaMikdash, still there was Beis HaMikdash related activity in the sense of preparation of items in anticipation of the Beis HaMikdash. And once again, we're referring to something that is Kodesh and not Truma, in line with Rav Huna. Toshma, we have another Tanaic source. This source features an incident involving the Shifcha, the bondmaid of Rabban Gamliel. Maisa b'shifchaso shel Rabban Gamliel shoy so'ifa kikros shel truma. She was, this bondmaid of Rabban Gamliel, was baking loaves of truma. O bein kol achas v'achas madicho yoda b'mayim ubodekes. After baking each loaf, she would wash her hand off and do an internal female checking. Bachrona botka umotsu tamea. After completing the last loaf, she discovered, lo and behold, she was tamea. Ubasa v'shoalo es Ramliel. And she came to ask Ramliel. She said that after the last loaf, the checking that I did after last loaf revealed redness on the checking cloth, indicating the presence of blood. And she asked Ramliel, what am I going to do with regard to that which I baked? The Amalo kulan tameos, and he ruled that all of them are considered tamei, being that you were dealing with them within the last 24 hours. She just had finished a series of bakings, and they're included in the me'es le'es shebenida. Omra lo Rebbe, she says to him, but Rebbe, halo bedika hoisali bain kol achas vachas. I had been checking myself between each loaf, and each one of those checkings revealed that I was still tahora. It's only after the last loaf that all of a sudden the checking cloth revealed redness. But all the previous checking cloths between each loaf indicated no redness, indicating that I was tahora. Amar lo im kein, well, now that you're revealing this fact that I didn't know, then I'll tell you, he tamei v'kulon toros, just the last loaf is tamei, but all the previous ones are tahor. Kotoni mihas, we nevertheless see in this story, kikros shel truma, that she was baking loaves of truma. And what would have happened had she not checked herself between each loaf, and only after she finished all the baking she revealed herself to be tamea. So we saw what Rav Gamliel thought, that all of the loaves would have been ruined based on the concept of me'es le'es shebenida, the retroactive tuma of 24 hours that we apply to the woman who discovers herself to be a nida. Well, that's not what Rav Huna said, so we have a kasha from a Tanaic source on Rav Huna. The Gemara answers, my truma, the truma loaves mentioned in this story, wasn't truma the truma tithe given to a Kohen of one's general produce, but rather trumas lachme toida. Lachme toda, toda is a sacrifice that involves the bringing of an animal, a sheep, and 40 loaves. From the 40 loaves of bread that are brought along with the Todah offering, 10%, 4 of the 40 are given to a Kohen. Well, that means you're dealing with Kochim, you're not dealing with standard Truma. And in fact, Rav Huna said that Me'es Le'es Benida is limited to Kochim, and they would have been ruined by virtue of the fact that they were the Trumas Lachme Todah. The Gemara asks, Trumas Lachme Todah Ba'afio Mai Baya? This story involves her baking loaves. What in the world is she doing baking the Trumas Lachme Toda loaves? Let's explain. Standard procedure would be that 40 loaves were baked. After the 40 loaves were already baked, 4 were separated and given to the Kohen. they were not baked separately as the tithe was the truma lachmei toda loaves. Rather, all of the loaves were baked, and after they were baked, four were separated. But this source indicates that the truma lachmei toda, the tithe, the loaves to be tithed, were being baked as tithed loaves, but they weren't tithed at that stage. They were tithed only later on. So the Gemara answers, the afrishinu belishayhu. She separated the 10%, we'll say, she separated them in their dough state. So once they're separated in their dough state, they are being baked as the tithe, as the loaves to be, the tithed loaves. You notice that we have a bracketed section here that takes us down to the next triangle. These brackets in our bracket note on the inside margin we have written, Sograyim Einom L'Shem Di. Look, these aren't for the purpose of skipping a section. Elo L'Marim De'ad Kan Iker Hatshuva. That up till this point is the essence of the answer. The main answer. Besochem, within the brackets, Muva Horeka L'Tshuvazu. There is background for understanding more about this particular answer, about something being tithed, or the Trumas Lachmei Toda being tithed in the dough state. After the brackets, the Gemara will resume its questioning on Rav Huna, who said that Meis Leis affects only Kochim and not Truma, and we'll see another source which will lead us to think that it affects Truma as well. In the meantime, the bracketed section regarding the baking of Trumas Lachmei Toda, V'chi ha di'omar Rav Tuvi bar Rav Ketina, Lachmei Toda sha'afon arba chalos yotza. Initial, before we understand it further, we first translate the Gemara, and then the Gemara will ask a question on this, but the translation is, Rav Tuvi tells us that the Lachmei Toda, which are the loaves brought along with the Toda offering, that you baked as four loaves, you have fulfilled your requirement. V'havina bo, and we ask, v'ha bo'inon ar bo'im, but there is a requirement of having 40, not four loaves. In other words, he's describing this case where you took the entire quantity of flour that's needed for baking the 40 loaves, and by the way, the 40 loaves are made up of 10, of four different kinds of breads. 10 loaves of each. So instead of baking 40 loaves, 10 of each, rather he baked 4 large loaves. He used the entire quantity to bake 4 large loaves, one loaf representing a different type of baked good. So we ask, Vavino Bo, we ask, Vavino Bo, Inan Arboim, but do we not require 40? How can someone bake 4 Lachmei Toda when you're supposed to bake 40? The Gemara answers, Le Mitzvah. The idea of 40 is the best way, the proper way to do it, but even if you didn't, if you did the four large loaves, you fulfill your requirement. The Gemara asks, V'ha bo'inan afrushi truma minayu. How can you get away with baking a sum total of 4 loaves when there's an expectation of tithing from the lachmei toda and giving to the kohen? V'chi teimo de mafrish prusa mikol chad v'chad. And if you think that, well, you can bake 4 loaves and tithe it by slicing off 10% of each one and giving that to the Kohen, the Gemara responds, Echod Omrachmona. The term Echod appears and in the Torah, and the word Echod means something one and complete, a complete entity. Shelo Yitol Prusa, that in giving the tithe, one is not to give a slice, but rather, we said 4 kinds, 10 of each. One of the 10, one complete loaf is given of each one of the 4 to the Kohen, not a slice. V'amrinon, and we answer, the afrishinu belishayu. The case of baking 4 loaves can be accomplished where the tithing took place when it was still in a dough form, so that the trumas lachmei toda, the tithed loaves, are being baked separately. Hachanami, so too above in the story involving the bondmaid of Rabbi Gamliel, the afrishinu belishayu. The Trumas Lachmei Toda had been separated in the dough state, and therefore you can talk about the Truma loaves being baked separately. Toshma. The triangle represents, again, a question on Rav Huna, who had claimed that retroactive tuma by the nida affects only sacrificial matters and not anything else, not truma. Toshma, shuv maise b'shivcho shel Rav Gamliel. There was another incident involving the bondmaid of Rav Gamliel. She was a gofa chovios shel yayin. She was sealing barrels of wine. Ubein kol achas v'achas. Between each barrel, between each ceiling, madicha yodeha b'mayim ubodekes. She washed her hands in water and did the female checking. Ubachroina bodka umotza tamea. Upon completing the last barrel, she did a checking and found herself to be tamea. She found an indication of redness on the checking cloth. Ubosa v'shalo l'Gamliel. She came and asked Gamliel what is to be with regard to the wine. The amrlo kulon tameas. All of the wine is tame. Amrlo. So she says to Gamliel, v'alo badiko hisoli bein kol achas v'achas. I was checking myself between each one, and I noticed that I was tahora after each one until the last one. Omar lo im kain, if that be the case, he tamea v'kulon tahoros. Only the last one is tamea, and all the rest are tahoros. Had she not checked herself between each one, what would have been? Well, like Rav Gamliel answered initially, that all of them would have been tamea. So we see from here that me'es la'es shebenida would be retroactive, affecting all of the things that she was dealing with within the last 24 hours. Now, we have a second incident that looks very similar to the above mentioned incident. Yamr's Bishlamo Chado the Kodesh v'Chado the Trumahi. If you say that one incident involved sacrificial matters and the other incident referred to Truma, the Truma is the standard tithe from one's produce that one gives to a Kohen, from general produce, including wine. Hainu the Hadra v'Shailo. Therefore, she asked again. In other words, she got an answer to the issue above we said was the case of Trumas Lachmei Todos. She got an answer with regard to sacrificial matters. Therefore, she asked again concerning Truma. And what do we see from here? We see that the issue of Me'es Le'es Shebenida is relevant to Truma as well. Elo, Iyamris Idi V'Idi De Kodesh, if you'll say that both stories involve the same topic, the same realm, namely sacrifices, Lomo lo lemahadir v'lashayle. Why does she, the bondmaid of Gamliel, have to ask a second time about the same topic? The Gemara answers that really both sources indicate sacrificial matters, but it wasn't the same woman asking the question. Maise shoya b'shtei shvachosoya. The incident involving Gamliel and the bondmaids were really two separate ladies. So one didn't know about the answer that the other one had received. Once again, we have a defense of Rav Huna's position. Now, a big turnaround, Lishno Achrina, when in Gemara markings where we have an alternative or second version of whatever, or alternatives to whatever, we usually mark that with a squiggle underline indicating a transition. So here we have a different version of Rav Huna. Lishna Achrina Amri La. Another version is of Rav Huna. Amr Rav Huna Me'es La'es Shebenido Metamo Bein L'Kodesh Bein L'Truma. Retroactive Tuma, when a woman discovers herself to be Anida, affects sacrificial matters and Truma as well. Mimai, how do I know that we make no distinction? Midolo kotoni lo, gabi malos. From the fact that the issue of me'es le'es shebenido is not found in Maseches Chagiga, which mentions the different cases where we are more stringent with regard to truma, with regard to kachim over truma. Since it's not this case of Me'es Le'es Shebenido doesn't appear in that topic called Ma'alois, hence it must be that they are on the same level, and whatever affects Kodesh will affect Truma the same way. And in this case, this is a reference to the Me'es Le'es Shebenido. It affects Kodesh as well as Truma. Omer le Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman asks, "V'ha tani tana l'kodesh aval lo l'truma." We have a Tanaic source that says only kodesh and not truma. This seems like an objection to what Rav Huna is saying. Kibla minei Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok. Rav Shmuel accepted this challenge and explained bechulin shenasu al taras kodesh velo bechulin shenasu al taras truma. There is room for making a distinction, but that's not what we are discussing. We are discussing the issue of actual truma. When you're dealing with real truma, then the din of me'es la'es shebenida will apply. This Tanaic source that says l'kodesh avalolu truma affects chulin shenasu al taras kodesh. That's a reference to people who would treat their common food with a level of stringency that applies to sacrifices. There is another practice that some people have, and that is they treat their chulin with the stringency accorded to truma. Given these two examples, chulin treated with kodesh stringency and chulin that's treated with truma stringency, which is a lower level of stringency, so we say that me'es le'es shebenida will ruin the chulin that's made with a kodesh standard, but it won't ruin chulin made with a truma standard. But both of the cases are, in truth, in principle, are chulin. So in those cases, we make a distinction. However, when it comes to real truma, that's the fruit that I tithe from my produce in anticipation of giving it to a kohen, and me'es le'es shebenida will affect that kind of truma, the real truma, not chulin that he simply treats with a truma standard. Tanan hosam. There's a Tanaic source, which initially will appear to be a bit vague, but as we go on in the Gemara, things will be clarified. Nolad la sofek tuma. A case of sofek tuma arose concerning dough. Ad shelo gilgala ta'ase betuma. If the sofek tuma, this doubt concerning tuma applied arose before the dough was kneaded, then if you want, you can continue processing it in using defiled vessels. That's tase betuma. You can continue processing it in a state of tuma. Mishe gilgala, however, if a case of suffic tuma arose after the dough was already kneaded, tase betaro. We insist that you continue processing it, treating it as tohor, using only tohor vessels. The Gemara now explains a little more, and we've underlined two expressions here. Ad shelo gilgalo tase betuma, the first case. Why? Why do we say that before it has been kneaded, you can process it in a state of tuma? Chulin ninhu, because you're dealing with chulin, and in the worst case scenario, it's umuter ligroim. Let us say that the suffic tuma really it wasn't tome, and you went ahead and used tome vessels, so it wouldn't be so catastrophic. Why? Because you're dealing with before the dough has been kneaded, it's categorized as chulin, as common food. Umuter ligroim tuma lechulin sheberet Yisrael, and it's okay to cause tuma to befall chulin in Eretz Yisrael. However, mishegil gula tase betara. Why? Why after it's kneaded do we want to play it safe and say you are allowed to process it only if you use tohor vessels? Because now after it's been kneaded, it's chulin hatvulin lechala kechala domu. The dough, once it's been kneaded, a chala tithe requirement sets in. So there is latent chala in this particular dough. And as such, it's considered challah. Challah, by the way, is something that is similar in halachas to truma. So once it's been kneaded, the requirement of a challah tithe sets in, giving this dough challah status. The osur ligroim tuma b'challah, and it is forbidden to cause tuma. Let us say that the dough that we said a suffik arose, let's say it really was not tamei, and now by my using tamei vessels, what's happening? I would be making it tamei. Well, that's forbidden. It's osur ligroim tuma b'challah. Tana, we continue at the top of Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. The Chalsa Tluya, the Chala is in a state of suspension. In other words, when she processes it, Betara, there is, however, the original Suffolk that arose. Even though she continues treating it as if it's Tar, there is an original Suffolk that arose. And we didn't describe what the nature of that Suffolk is. That is the job of the Gemara, but the ruling concerning the challah is la'ochlin v'losorfin, we won't allow it to be eaten, nor will we burn it. One is not allowed to burn challah or truma that's tahor. Maybe it's tahor. So you can't burn it either. It's left aside till it rots. Be'ezah sofek amru, then in the previous source, we saw it said nolad lo sofek tuma. What kind of sofek are we talking about? Besafek chala. We're talking about a type of safek tuma that would apply to chala and not to chulin. My safek chala. The Gemara's question is basically, what are you talking about? What is that? Abaye v'Rava, the Amri Trevayu. They both say shelo tomar b'hoychachos shaninu kamo shnei shvilim. The Hosam Chulin Greido Nami Metamu Elo Benishan. Don't think that the suffix spoken about here is some obvious type of doubt. That's called Hoychocho, something that's clear, an obvious doubt. What is an example of an obvious doubt? Like the case of Shnei Shvilim, like the case of two paths. This is a reference to two pathways. One is Tomei, and one is Tor. What do we mean one is Tomei? Under the pathway, there is a body buried. I simply don't know under which one of the two pathways. And you have a person that is in doubt, did he walk on the Tomei pathway or on the Tahor one? Well, that kind of Tuma would affect, so you have a person that might is in, we'll call he Sofek Tomei, he will affect even Chulin. So, he will affect even standard Chulin. However, what are we talking about here? We're talking about even we'll call it a lower level of doubt, which is called Nishan. Nishan, we'll see very shortly what that means, but literally it has to do with leaning on something. Disnan, Zav v'tor shuporkin min hachamor, o to'anim. A Zav is a type of person that has that had an emission, a male type emission. Without getting into the details, it's sufficient for us to refer to the Zav as one of different kinds of emissions that may come from a male, so he is Tomei. And so you have in this story a Zav and a Tohar that were porking, that were unloading a donkey, o toanin, or loading up the donkey with some type of packages. Bizman Shemason Koved Tomei, where these two people, the Zav and the Tohar, are working on a heavy load, so the Tohar person will be considered Tomei. Masa'on Kal Tohar. If it's a light load, then the Tohar person remains Tohar. Now, why, if it's a very heavy load, is the Tohar person considered Tomei? Because since you're dealing with a heavy load, you might have had a situation where the Zav ended up leaning on the Tohar person, or the Tohar person was leaning on the Zav, or being supported by the Zav. Even if we're talking about a type of tuma that's communicated, even if he didn't actually touch the Zav, but since they're both trying to manipulate a heavy load, one may have been leaning on the other while doing this loading or unloading. that will communicate tumah. If it's a light load, so then there's no reason to assume that one was leaning on the other. V'kulan tahurin livnei hakneses utmein l'truma. These, when we speak about the person being tahor, they are tahor with regard to chulin, and talking about chulin that people might treat with a truma standard, but nevertheless it's still chulin. And in this case of nishan, we say that the tahor person remains tahor and he can continue eating his chulin even though he treats it with a truma standard. However, when it comes to actual truma, the person loading up, the Torah person, will be considered tumei with regard to truma, and he'll ruin truma. When it says here tumein le truma, we want to add, most importantly, and chulin that are tvulin le chala as well, which is our topic we were discussing above regarding the dough that had latent chala in it, and a suffek arose. And here we're revealing what the type of suffek was. You're dealing with a suffek involving nishan. So the case of nishan, where someone who had been working together with a zav dealing with heavy packages, if he then touches this dough with the latent challah in it, we will apply the halachas that we learned above to such a situation. The Gemara, as it goes on, will deal with: is it really so that chulin that's tvulin lechala, that chulin common dough that has latent chala in it, is it really viewed as chala? But until then, we will pause at this point, and with this, we conclude our shiur for today.